Joining us now to discuss the events at the UN today is Lionel Barber, U.S. Managing Editor for the international newspaper The Financial Times. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Michelle.
The president faced a fairly skeptical audience for this speech. Did he score any points here with the international community, and was that really his goal?
No, I think he had two audiences, the international community at the United Nations and the American people. For the first audience, I think he may have scored one or two points by reminding them that, in fact, over the last 12 months, there have been a number of terrorist attacks all around the world, from Morocco to Bali and Jakarta. On the other hand, there was no real fundamental change in position by the president. He wants political authority to remain in American hands. He does not want to internationalize this, and he wants to set his own timetable for the turnover of power, transfer of power to the Iraqi people.
In Washington, Senate Minority Leader Tom Daschle expressed some disappointment that President Bush did not make a stronger appeal for more international troops and funding for Iraq. Would it have been somewhat futile for him to do that? And behind closed doors, could this still be part of negotiations with the Security Council on a resolution?
I think that the president and his advisers are very clear-headed about the fact that in their current position, they are not going to get the likes of the Russians or the French to contribute troops to the peacekeeping operation in Iraq. You did see a little bit of room for maneuver in the sense that the French president, Mr. Chirac, talked about a realistic timetable for the transfer of power. In other words, if Mr. Bush were to signal in private, for example, maybe 9 months to a year, that might help. But you won't see any deployment of troops by the major powers to support the British and Americans at this stage.
President Bush was unyielding in the face of some fairly arch criticism, and he resisted calls for a more rapid transition to Iraqi self-rule and for a greatly expanded UN role in Iraq's reconstruction. Why do you think he stayed the course here?
Michelle, I've spoken to senior members of the Bush administration, and it's clear that they have a real fear that, first of all, the interim body in Iraq, the Governing Council, is only an interim body, and they need more time to work together. It is an ethnic patchwork, remember. And that to withdraw at this stage or dismantle the current political authority led by Paul Bremer would create a dangerous vacuum. They're also worried about a transition to the United Nations. If they were bringing in the United Nations, could simply derail what has already been a difficult operation. So they want to limit the UN role to practical matters, such as training civil servants and helping conduct free and fair elections in, say, the next 12 to 15 months.
A series of recent opinion polls show erosion in U.S. public support for President Bush and his conduct in the war in Iraq. I think it's down to now about 50%. There's also uneasiness about spending on Iraq, on the reconstruction and the war effort. We're heading into an election year. Was that a consideration for the Bush team?
It is a consideration. There's no question that the likes of Karl Rove, the political advisor to Mr. Bush, and others have noted the shift in political opinion here in the United States. There's no question that Americans themselves are unnerved by the continuing casualties suffered by American troops, and they would like to see an exit strategy. The question for the president is whether he can show tangible progress on the ground, an improvement in the living conditions of Iraqis, and a greater security for the occupying force in the coming months. If he can't, he may well have to consider redefining what he would deem to be success in Iraq. Today, he talked about transforming Iraq into a democracy and in effect creating a beacon for the rest of the Middle East. It may be in future he'll have to downgrade that those kind of expectations.
Mr. Barber, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Lionel Barber is U.S. Managing Editor for The Financial Times.